what's happening. Fourth hour of the hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio upon you, upon us. All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville making it possible. Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer also making it possible. And Jason Martin. Ron Slay will join us next segment. It's Tuesday, of course. At Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at JMart Radio, at JMart and Ramon. Yeah. So here's how good Patrick Beverley was yesterday on TV.
What happened?
Fox is talking about him right now. The topic is on what he said about Chris Paul yesterday on Fox's show. They're talking about ESPN comments. Calling him a cone.
He called that man a cone.
So, by the way, this beef goes back a long time
with the two of them.
He said this on a podcast years ago. You know Chris, so people don't understand. Me and Chris, what we have has been going on since high school.
Really?
A lot of people don't understand the backstory, but me and Chris, we definitely understand the backstory. I got invited to a LeBron James camp, the big Nike camp, when we were in college. Chris Paul was there. I killed him. Destroyed him. Then I see him in the NBA, so that energy is going to roll over to the NBA. So there was a grudge.
Okay.
Probably also that he killed him there, but Paul's the one that got all the love.
Well, yeah.
Because he's the better player.
I mean... Of course.
And of course, look, Chris Paul's a dirty player. He's an all-time great, but he's a dirty player.
He's been known to be dirty, Jay, more than anything else.
Well, how does he get away with it? Is he slicker than most, or he just plays the politics? Which one is?
I think both are true.
Both are true.
And he's a star. I mean, but to preface it again, he's a damn good player, though.
Exactly.
Too.
That's how you get away with it. If he's terrible, all you know about him is that he goes below the belt.
Yeah. There's a bunch of people commenting on it for sure. Mike Golick Jr. said something there I thought was pretty good. Did you have his tweet still up, Jay?
I had it in the chat.
Yeah, I have to find that again.
He said, there's a fine line between criticism and disrespect. It gets blurred a lot as guys enter the media, but very rarely do we see it from someone still inside the fraternity. Mm-hmm. Usually it goes the other way. I think Bev's probably getting close to being done.
Well, he also had a follow-up tweet right after that. He said, that being said, Pat Bev did on TV what he's done his entire career, and it would probably turn into a pretty lucrative media career for him.
I mean, watching it yesterday, I said, well, he's going to get a job. Like, strategic. No question. It literally became the biggest story in sports yesterday, was what Pat Beverley said on ESPN TV. He's a natural for it. Whether you agree with what he's saying or not is irrelevant. There's a whole lot of dumb people on TV that say a whole lot of dumb stuff but get paid millions of dollars to do it.
Fact.
He's always going to be willing to talk. He definitely has a Steve Smith about him in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing you are going to have to know about him going in is he is going to take the opportunity to take shots at people he doesn't like.
So you're saying it's not genuine in how he's going about
it? I think it's definitely going to be based on how he feels about you, at least for a time. When you get further away and he's evaluating a league that he doesn't know everybody in,
right,
that's going to be different. But I do think he's going to wage some personal grudges, and I don't know that there's a shelf life for that.
So he's basically just going to be a Twitter feed on camera?
Probably. It's what he is on the floor. Mm. He's a Twitter feed on the floor.
Okay, you say that, but let's go on the other side of it, too. Well, what about, I've heard numerous times, I don't watch Perkins a lot, but the way he's a jump-on-the-table guy for LeBron, then.
That's a problem.
How is that?
That's a problem.
You know, how is one different from the other?
Maybe nothing. I mean,
I'm not saying you're wrong or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, well, what's the difference in what either one of them is doing?
Well, I don't like listening to Kendrick Perkins.
Okay.
Until one thing. With the Draymond thing. But, like, his analysis and all that kind of stuff, especially the way he goes to the mat for LeBron,
right.
I don't see the need.
You damn so ain't cute.
Love that.
Man, you ain't handsome.
That's it. Just say those drops like we said.
You damn so ain't cute.
But
Man,
I don't...
you ain't handsome.
I don't find Perk to be... I don't find Perk to be very good.
That was the best Perk right there. He's had some good stuff.
That is the best.
But that's the best. He told Draymond. What'd he say to Draymond, Schaefer?
You damn so ain't cute. Man, you ain't handsome.
It's because Draymond called him an ogre.
Draymond called that man an ogre. And he had to address him, man.
You damn sure ain't cute.
But I mean, man, Beverly,
you ain't handsome.
But Beverly, Beverly hates Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And made sure everybody knew it yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
So
I've never seen that. I'll be real. Not I don't know if Steve Smith has.
No, not like that. Not like that.
I've seen players beef with media types.
People, yes.
Yes, all the time. I've seen that. I've seen guys go at each other on social media, but never on the network. And honestly, it's been fairly clean.
Speaking of which, by the way, social media. 2 days ago, AJ Brown tweeted, pray for people who talk about you that don't even know you. And then an hour ago tweeted, when you're uncommon, get ready for the common people to not understand you. He's not going to take my advice, but I would delete my account, man. And I'm not saying that in a flippant way. I'm saying you need to delete your account because you're in a market that's going to murder you on a daily basis.
You know what's interesting about? I told you I listened to Charles, and Charles was talking about him going from Alabama to Philly. I don't know if y'all ever heard him speak about that. He was just like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. He was like, of course, I'm from the South. I was like, I never been up north. He was like, but Philadelphia is a place that's been characterized by everybody has ever played there. Everybody has ever. It's hard. As long as you ball and they love you. He was like, and I had to learn that early on. He's like, but it hardens you if you're built for it. You know, I'm not saying AJ isn't, but you have Hall of Famers, AI, Barkley. All those guys say the exact same thing when it comes down to being a Philadelphia type
Donovan
player.
McNabb.
Yeah, McNabb. I mean, think about it. We bring up Jason Kelce all the time. They love him because why? He is a Philly type of personality. And you have to be built a certain way. And it can be for any city. But the history that Philly has, Rocky, you know what I'm saying? Like embodying all of what that is and toughness to the core. Whatever the tweets mean, they're just that. But if he's speaking
if,
about.
If he's in his feelings now because of Titans fans. Yeah. Like he needs to have his ears surgically removed.
I pray for him.
He needs to just not be able to hear this. That's the only way that you can get through this, because if he's in his feelings now, or he's even intimating, because a lot of problem with AJ's Twitter is it's always vague, and it doesn't seem like it's like it was particularly well thought before it was put up there, because it doesn't have meaning some of the time, or he's just mentioning something that's in his head that doesn't have any relevance to anything. And it's just like, what are you trying to say? What's the point here? It can be.
Yeah.
But usually it has some kind of purpose.
Right.
But this right here, these things can be taken in a direction. And the problem is a lot of his stuff can be taken in directions when sometimes it's just a lyric or it's something else. But like he goes with the things we just talked about. And 3 days ago, he said, big Mason Kinsey fan, your time, little bro, 100. What does that mean? What does that mean? Titans fans, Mason Kinsey's your guy.
He tweeted
I don't know. Yeah, he tweeted it 3 days ago. Big Mason Kinsey fan, your time, little bro.
That means
I'm sure it was in response to something about Mason Kinsey. Like probably it's a tweet with a reply or
everything
something.
Everything
like
I'm
that.
Hearing about a guy that plays the same position as him, the young wide receiver from UCLA.
Kyle Phillips.
That seems like it's closer to his time. Unless they keep both of them on roster, man. Everybody's gushing over Kyle Phillips. And maybe rightfully so, but doesn't Mason Kinsey play the slot?
I mean,
for the most part,
Mason,
he does.
We'll see him in the preseason.
Hmm.
We'll find out. It's May 17th. I don't really care about the gushing going on, period.
I mean, well, yeah, of course.
All Kyle Phillips can do is what he has done.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot that needs to be determined.
Well, I'll say this. Good on him for supporting his guy, Mason Kinsey, man.
Sure.
I'll say that.
Sure. Ron Slay. Will join us in the next segment. Surprised he's not already here because the bags of food are here.
Bags are loaded.
So we'll talk to him. I want to talk to him about Pat Bev in particular.
He has some opposition about it in the chat.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that and what the good is, what the bad is from that scenario. A lot to get to, of course, with Ron. It's Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Right on cue.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 Zone. It's Tuesday, 9:20. Means Ron Slay's in the building. Man, it's been way too much orange today. Fulmer, Swain, Slay.
Baker Mayfield in the first hour.
But that first hour of this show needs to be shot into the sun.
Hey, Savage. I feel like Savage is going to take that first trip. You don't take that trip with Baker, aren't
He's not
you?
Being invited.
He's been invited.
No.
To the Bahamas. Isn't. I'm telling
you, can show up, but you're going to be left on the tarmac, and then you're going to limp back.
Hey, man, listen. If you don't describe who are the people involved and able to get this invitation, well, I got to look at the description and see do I fall under it. It said offensive
weapons.
Weapons.
His weapons.
I've been a weapon there for a long time. It's only right.
You're sort of a grenade, though.
Hey.
All I got to do is pull the pin, and it'll take your own franchise out.
That's right. So be careful where you put me. That's what I'm telling you. Put me on the flight, and just when y'all get off, I'm going to get off. I'm going to go my way. Y'all tell me what time we board and take off again.
Before. Sean loves to get off.
See, that's why we need Baker there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we need Baker there, okay?
Because he'll be throwing shots like that. Yeah.
Before we get into Pat Bev with Savage, okay? And by the way, Barnes is freaking killing it again, okay? We'll get to that. But listen,
okay.
In recent history, Jay told me I thought it was 5 years. Jay says it's only been 4 years with Baker. They picked up his fifth year option, okay? Mm. One, that tells me I am a weapon. Okay.
Yeah.
I was the number one overall pick. As far as that long list of quarterbacks, I'm the guy.
That lines up.
That lines up.
Yeah.
And with the with the rumors of me being traded.
Yeah.
I'm not already.
Yeah. And guess what?
Well, talk to me.
And guess what? With those rumors being out there,
yeah.
Hey, y'all, this the type of guy I am. That don't even affect me. I'm still down with y'all.
But it does because we have eyes to your Twitter account and a podcast where you're in there wearing tennis shoes talking about what you're going to do.
Hey, let me. How many days has it been?
This is what?
Since RT
Tannehill slander?
Okay, here you go.
There it is.
And this is no slander. RT17 says somebody else went running his account. So why are you paying attention to my Twitter account? Somebody else running it.
Yeah, well, the podcast, hey. I saw you on video.
Hey, I was the dog. The dog was me.
Trade me. Let's go to Seattle.
Man in black.
Hey, I'm...
You know what dogs wear? Cones.
See?
Oh.
Now you know what? Disrespectful.
Let's talk brass tags. Yesterday, that became a big topic. It's a topic.
Before you go.
Okay.
As far as TV goes, he gave me what I wanted.
Oh, he gave ESPN what they wanted?
He gave listeners not involved with the game what they want.
There we go.
Which is a whole lot of people.
It is. A whole lot.
It is. But this is my thing.
Okay, talk to me.
Pat Bev makes some good points, 2 out of 10, but I can't listen to the two because of the 8 that he spews out his mouth. A point that he made, and I said, me and one of my reps was texting during the game, second quarter, and I said, hey, man, they need to take Chris Paul out, dog.
You called it. You said
like
it.
Like, he hurting them, you know what I mean? And they trying to get the switch, and they getting the switch, and he's abusing them, and then you start to see him reaching for his little hamstring. So to ignore all that, let's get him out of there. Put somebody else in, play him in Spurs. I thought Pat Bev said the same thing, and it was spot on. When you start saying the man is a cone,
I've never even heard that before.
He's not yet. The kids out here saying that. So Pat Bev is a kid. So 9 times all defensive team and first team, 7 times first team all defense. That's not a cone. That's not. Okay. This, you're talking about somebody that's a Hall of Famer. And so if you preface everything by saying, listen, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all this. I don't even fool with Chris Paul, though. I don't even like Chris Paul. Like, if I preface it with that, then I can understand where you're coming from. Now we can talk basketball now that we got that out the way.
Okay.
So if I'm talking about Andrew Luck, I don't like Andrew Luck.
Okay.
But when we're talking about football, hey, man.
Hands off.
I just don't like him. Okay. But we talking about football, that man can play.
Okay.
Matt Ryan, the same thing with me. I don't fool with Matt Ryan.
You've been clear.
That's what I do. But when we talking about football and we got to evaluate his career, I can't hate on that man.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you can't fool with Matt Ryan?
I don't like Matt Ryan. Yeah, I don't like him.
He don't like him.
As a person?
As a player.
No, not as a person. Like, he walked in.
That's the difference here with Beverly. Like, Patrick Beverly can't stand Chris Paul.
That stems from basketball.
It started there, but I think it's gotten worse.
No, it's because he wants it to get worse because he can get some attention. Because ain't nobody paying attention to the little guy that's over there in the corner. And you've been the little brother the entire career.
When I was with the Clippers, you
was the little brother. When I left and went to the Rockets, you was the little brother. Then I left, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting all the praise, and then I'm making first team all defense, and all you do every time to be getting some accolades in the league is hold up your one that you stole from Tony Allen. Like, come on, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey.
Well, I mean, that's the whole of it with Pat Beverly. He even says it goes back to high school where he beat him at a camp. Chris Paul became famous. Didn't go to that point, but that's the point. Is Chris Paul became famous. I didn't.
And that's ridiculous.
And he
like, I played Chris Bosh and gave Chris Bosh that work. Am I going to be out here spewing that? No, man. Nobody care about that man, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what I'm going to say, man, if I would have had the same opportunity as Chris Bosh, I would have been a Hall of Famer. You didn't get that. So what are you talking about?
So to look at his highlights in the awards, he's one time first team all defensive NBA. And I say only, but 2 times all defensive second team. So he can't even hold Chris.
Wow.
He can't even hold Chris Paul's whips to class.
Wow.
Okay.
And then this is another thing. Like I was telling Jay before we came back on there. One thing, I'm in a lot of chats with a lot of basketball people that played a lot of years that got some esteem to themselves. One thing you don't want to lose if you're Pat Bev is the grit and the keep it realness that you got about yourself.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? People respect you for your work ethic, the way you went and got it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hustle.
That ain't easy. And the common man can, in a sense, relate to you because you're not the guy that's 6'7", athletic, jumping from the free throw line and stuff like that. You do the dirty work, and it's understood. You're blue collar. When your basketball peers start talking about you and lose respect for you, that's one thing you was scorned for life. That's why he on there today with a different tone a little bit. You know, you know what I'm saying? But he's still on the James Harden. So when you talk the way you talked about Chris Paul and then you turn the page and talk about James Harden, should be able to get a super duper max. Everything you're saying is null and void about Chris Paul because now you're just talking out the side of your neck. None of it makes sense.
I agree with that part about Harden. It's like, if I like you, you should get a max contract. If I got some kind of problem with you, you should be benched. You should be fired. You should be
even a max contract. He's saying a super max contract.
He's saying $37.5 million a year.
Like, what are you talking about?
Basketball player, that don't make no sense right there.
No, why?
Well, okay. Damian Lillard, bra on TV acting like his word law, speaking on private convos, preying on people's downfall. This is weird behavior.
Yeah.
So he went off on it. Isaiah Thomas.
Ooh.
Tell me, man.
Meaning Detroit Isaiah, not Zeke, Isaiah.
The real Zeke.
Yes. Yeah, that was corny.
It is.
So there's a lot. There are definitely. And of course, Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes said, look, he said, you're not that guy. Plain and simple. Chris Paul played terrible this series. His numbers are still better than your career numbers have ever been.
And that's what it is. And listen, that's no cover for Chris Paul. Like, he get all the slander. Like, dog, y'all got spanked at home, number one seed,
all
40 plus.
And he's not popular.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's
part of it. But outside of that, come on, man. You can't slander his career. Saying the man a cone. Like, don't nobody want to play with him. Ain't nobody getting no sleep at night. That's cool. They ain't got to get no sleep at night. But guess what they doing? Going out there and get 60 plus victories. Your team, you crying on the thing for a play-in game.
So to that point, I mentioned this earlier. I don't know where I heard this yesterday. But they said that one thing about Chris Paul, especially now,
mm-hmm.
is that if you wrote a book on point guards, what he does would be all of it. Like it would be like because he plays it perfectly. He plays point guard perfectly. So perfectly that he can be kind of predictable at times.
Very
especially
true.
If you're Jason Kidd
mm-hmm.
and you understand how to play point guard.
Right.
He doesn't there's no variance in Chris Paul's game. He plays textbook point guard, which because of his lack of improvisation can become trouble when you have played him 4 out of 7 yep. games, and that might explain why he's struggling in the playoffs.
Totally agree. Like that MVP should go to Jason Kidd for that game 7, the way they blasted him. The reason being,
really,
I said it on our show yesterday, they didn't do what happens in the league every day. Ms. Savage, we talk about this all mm-hmm. the time, whether it be NFL, NBA, whatever it may be, college, whatever it is, how they play the pick and roll. Like it's a copycat league, mm-hmm. copycat league. This was the first time in this game 7 that they, every time Devin Booker went pick and roll, they trapped him.
Yep.
Get the ball out of his hand.
They doubled him constantly.
And like every time, like yeah. you're not going to, we're going to make you give it up and see if you can get it back. By that time, it's 3-4 seconds on the shot clock. Got to rush a shot. Chris Paul, every time they made him stay with the ball in mm-hmm. his left. Don't let him go right. Simple.
Wow.
It was that simple. So they changed it.
So that, and one more quick thing, and then I'll turn it over. Because we talked about this guy earlier. What's the difference in the mindset between Karl Anthony Towns, who you,
mm-hmm.
and DeAndre Ayton? Because I don't see much. Because I don't see a huge motor. I don't see a lot of want to.
Yeah.
Sometimes out of DeAndre Ayton. And that's bothersome to me. It dated back to Arizona.
I think with DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton, he's a guy that when you look at him and Karl Anthony Towns, two different players, two different style of players. But when you start to talk about the motor, I think they're in different different schemes and different styles of play where you're playing more of the pick and roll guy. Like you're almost like a plug guy. And this goes to your point about Chris Paul. Any big man that plays with Chris Paul is going to be a pick and roll guy. Like, it's not going to be many opportunities for you to get the ball and go on the low block and say, go to work, show me what you can do. Even if you got it going, you still got to play. Looking back on his career, look at Tyson Chandler when he was in New Orleans. Look at David West, what he turned him into. And people were like, David West was all-star, but a lot of it was less dribbles because a lot of pick and pop, yeah. give it to him, shot, one dribble, Blake. Little stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Blake, DeAndre Jordan. Like, yeah. the list goes on and on for him. That's what he does because you don't feel comfortable as a coach taking the ball out of his hand because he's so cerebral in the game. He's a coach on the floor. It's like, I don't want to take it out of his hand.
Wow.
Chris Paul, let's go to DeAndre Ayton. Then what am I doing? What is Chris Paul doing? You know what I'm saying? Just standing, yeah. playing a spot-up shooter? That ain't his strength. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
yep.
I think that's where they fall different. And Karl Anthony Towns, being in Minnesota, was more of a guy that came in to be the face of the franchise. We're going to push it this way. This is where we're going. Got D'Angelo Russell out of there, you know, did all of this. So you were the guy. Then he just transformed into this three-point shooter, which is, I don't like Karl Anthony Towns, but I'm not going to knock his game. He plays hard. He just plays the way they do now, more finesse than you would see a 6'10", 6'11 guy.
Yeah, he plays soft.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
For that size, he plays soft.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. You expect more of him being in the paint and getting more rebounds. And this is little stuff to ask of a guy that's bigger than everybody when you reach your hand up to get a rebound. So, yeah. you know what I mean? I think that's the difference. I do think Ayton has the motor. He's just in a bad situation to show that he got the motor.
And it's hard not to see yeah. him and Luka on the same floor knowing they came out of the same draft.
Mm-hmm.
Luka's
mm-hmm.
on a totally
I mean, you look level. At the same thing. You say the same thing with Trae Young. Yes. Trae Young keep going in the playoffs in yes. advance, and just not this year. So
wow.
Yeah.
Barnes and these basketballs.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled another 5-star.
Yeah.
Julian Phillips. And yeah. also they end up getting they don't have a bunch of ratings on them, but they end up getting another commitment out of a New York kid.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zakai.
Mm-hmm.
Toby Awaka.
Yeah.
What is this team going to be?
I like it. You practice that big dog.
Hey, getting that name right.
Yeah, I like it because guess what? Somebody said Nico.
Iomaliava.
You know exactly what I was about to do. I'm not trying to do that. I ain't. Nico. That's what
Nico
I know.
Nico
Iomaliava.
You want to find Harry Carey trying to say Hideki Arabu from like 50. Hey, Rabu.
Maliava.
You'll find it.
Brett Favre.
There's a lot of them out there.
Brett Favre. So, Honor Landry. Honor Landry. Oh, Vince Young.
Yeah, that's how I'm doing.
When he announced him, he called him Honor Landry. We haven't heard that one in a while.
Who's Vince doing?
Who's teaching that? Hey, so, yo, I think Vaughn's doing a terrific job, man. But this goes back to when you... So him, to me, okay, so a lot of people give him flack for not evolving and going to a different system style of play, sticking with the same system that he has. One thing you cannot knock him on is being able to evolve in the game of recruiting. When he lost Lanier, Dez, Oliver, you know, now Swartz, you know, he lost the core of his coaching staff. So now you ship them out and you bring new guys in and you got to recruit these younger guys in a different way. So you bring in a guy like Rod Clark, you know, you bring in a guy like Ganey, a guy coming from grassroots programs who have relationships and know, they understand to go get Ramon is an opportunity to go get Slay. You know what I'm saying? So I think they work that in the right way and they build those relationships. And it doesn't hurt when you start to put guys in the league after one and done's or two and done's and things like that and start to create All-Americans and, you know, put the work ethic in it. So I think one thing about it also is the kids love it. The parents love it. You know, so you get kind of getting the best of both worlds with his coaching staff and him, you know, his faith-based, the page he's turned in his career where he stands and he can walk in any mom's, grandma's house or whatever it may be and be like, hey, man, this is what we do. We're going to church on Sunday, whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're spiritually based. And then you got on the opposite side.
His personality.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so it's totally different. So I think it's I think it's good and it works for
me. Let me say this about it, too, because when it happened, Huntley Hatfield transferred out. And you go get a five-star right behind him.
Yeah.
The portal is good.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yep.
But this is also like, you can be replaced. Is it that in this situation when we look at Phillips and his commitment?
Yeah, I think so. I think and you can you start to realize that as a player and you start to realize that as a coach, from the coach aspect, you got to be able to get ahead of it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then the same thing as a player, you hate to say this, but players got to be aware, too. What's going on in the recruiting market? Like, I remember playing in my day, it was – I don't care who you're going to get.
Yeah.
They ain't finna come in and get my time. You know what I'm saying? So, but now in, it, you got these guys that you get NILs and everything. So whoever you may go get, you might go get Savage out a high school. And I got to be looking on my shoulder like, man, who they going to recruit this year, man?
Okay.
It's like, dang, this, they bring this five-star in here. And then I'm looking around at the roster like, what spot he going to play? Are you playing my spot? Now I got something to think about. Do I get ahead of that curve? Am I running from it? That's just the day and age we live in now. So I think players got to be just as aware as they as the coaches do.
We'll finish the show and you can get you.
We ain't finishing no show. We're going right over into the 10 o'clock hour.
That's fine. I mean, Buck's usually rolling in right at 10, so we can do 10:05.
Hell, I had to let him in the building yesterday.
That's our favorite thought, baby. Yeah,
it was just out there hanging around.
We'll finish the show on the other side. Titans have agreed with Treylon Burks, so we'll tell you all about his fully guaranteed contract when we come back. Jay Martin and Mo, 104.5 The Zone. Everybody get up. Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. I'd offer James Harden a quote, super duper duper max. Who can guard James Harden? A team, not one player. That's what Patrick Beverly said this morning. Disagree, brother. A player can definitely guard James Harden in 2022. And 2021, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and a little bit of 2020.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Like, the league has continued since he dominated you and when you played with him in Houston.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It's different now, man. And I don't see that's where the friend stuff gets in the way. And when you jump in this, man, you got to be able to keep a line of being yourself and still try to. I guess what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if that's keeping him trying to get a job.
He see the numbers.
Yeah, silly.
The numbers is going up.
Yeah,
like I was listening to A-Rod talk this past weekend. He's speaking about like if you look at the. I guess the scope of what the NBA can be, the worldwide side. He's like, that's the reason he bought the team. He's like, because you can mold basketball in the fact that it's not the number one sport and it's global, though.
It is global.
You can grow it to a point to where you may end up seeing these NFL commentator analyst numbers. I don't know if completely go to the NBA side, but if you got Brady getting $37 million, I mean, at some point, some NBA analysts and color commentators probably going to get about 12. Pat Beverly type get about $2-3 million a year. Who knows?
He'll do fine. Yeah. I mean, he also this morning slandered the Lakers.
He did?
So he said something else he knew was going to get there. Yeah. He said that's an asterisk championship in the bubble. Called it a bubble championship, and it doesn't count with the rest of. I tend to agree with a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't.
Because Anthony Davis is actually healthy in the bubble.
Yeah, but then he's saying, like, so that means you discredit everything Miami did to get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I then he's discrediting this guy, James Harden. So everything James Harden, the numbers he was putting up in the bubble, it's fabricated too. Like, he just talking, man. There's people like that, man, that just need to go away.
Pat Bav needs
I think they got some insect spray somewhere, man, that you just ought to spray, and he ought to just raid him away.
They may just hire him before he leaves.
So where does Kendrick sit with you then?
K-Dot?
Perkins. Not K-Dot.
Did you know
he was 5'4"?
Nah, I knew he was little, though.
I know
some of his homeboys. His homeboy's little. And he right around the same. So, Kendrick, big
punch of short people.
I knew he was short. I didn't know he was 5'4".
Yeah.
What we doing?
I didn't know they little.
Everybody got short friends,
I'm
huh?
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? But so Big Perk. Big Perk is cool to me.
He's good on
TV. And there you go. You know what I mean? Big Perk is good. And I think the way Big Perk does it, he don't throw anybody under the bus. He speaks from his experience, and he speaks from knowing that he got an entertainment value to him as well. Pat Bev is, he went directly at someone.
Yeah.
Like, that ain't, what is that? That ain't nothing to me, man.
If you Chris Paul, where you at today with him? Shake it off.
Well, I was yesterday. Yeah. JJ Redick went at his neck early on Get Up. So, I'm fine with everybody.
I missed it. Went
at Pat Bev.
He did.
Yeah, straighten him out. Like, we're not going to continue this from yesterday, dog. Like, you don't understand. You saying this about James Harden. The man don't deserve no Supermax. Max, okay. You know what I mean? But now Supermax, you're bonkers. And then I don't like how you try to twist it every time. If Ramon asks me something and say, hey, man, let me give you an example. Say you run a franchise and I ask Savage, what franchise you talking about? Now you got to tell me what franchise.
He did do that to Stephen A.
Yeah, you mean Miami franchise or the New York franchise? Like, come on, dog.
Because he asked him which PG3 yesterday.
Talking about all of Paul George.
Yeah.
Because the Paul George in Indiana was budding, and this Paul George, to me, is a top 10 player in the league without question. This Paul George, cold-blooded. You talking about skill, less dribbles, getting the way you want to get to? Paul George, cold-blooded, man. You just got
to
stay
healthy. Until you get to the playoffs.
He had a bad bubble.
He's been bad his whole career.
He's been bad his whole career. It can still be true, huh?
I'm a Thunder fan. I saw it.
I think Paul George is a top 10 player.
Well, yeah. I don't disagree. I don't know what he does.
I think when you get to the playoffs, it's a team. Like everybody on that team got to be bad. Then you know what I'm saying. We can't discredit Chris Paul and not discredit Blake Griffin. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I always thought Blake was overrated too.
I mean,
man, you ain't handsome.
This man here. What's wrong with you, dog?
You damn sure ain't cute.
You damn sure ain't cute.
Paul George is just a better Ryan Tannehill.
And there we go. There it is, y'all.
I'm telling you, let me end this prediction. Pat Bev is not the talking basketball circus. He may be to the fans or whatever it may be. Okay, but listen, he ain't. And I don't, one thing I'm going to stand on for my life is being judged by my peers.
That's very true.
I want. Give me that all day
100%.
Long.
100%. He did say one thing to Stephen A. I was just like, oh. He told him, he was like, well, when he started speaking about Chris Paul and how he was a cone. He was like, well, ain't nobody going to tell you this, Stephen A., because you ain't in that circle. Like, is that conversation a player-to-player locker room conversation about CP3?
Well, I wouldn't go that far because then you start to do the but you didn't play the game, so you don't understand if we want to take it there. You know what I'm saying?
That's where he started trying to charge up Stephen A. Like, yeah. I think his approach was to go through the ESPN wash, challenge their analysts that are on there, and he kind of went at Stephen A. And all I can say was what Jay said.
He did it in Wind Horse too.
And that's what I'm saying to Jay's point. Like, well, he's about to get a contract.
Yeah, but see, I just
man. That's the way I looked at it.
I feel it, and I think we're giving him too much credit too.
Okay,
I don't think he's that smart to say this is what I'm about to go do to go get this contract. I actually think he's being himself. I just think what he's saying. It's not thought out, and there's no facts behind it.
Okay.
To stand on, there's more hate coming from it than anything.
You talking about Pat Beverly or Buck Rising?
Oh, Buck got a good standard about himself. He got a better standard.
Got a good standard about himself.
Yeah, I like Buck. That's my man.
That's just my way of mentioning he's next.
Buck is next.
Huh? I'll tell you what, if I don't see Will Bowling soon,
I didn't know he still worked.
We gonna have a problem.
I don't even know where you're. I know one thing, Wednesday, I'm throwing 70 off the mound.
Look, I set the standard. The video is out there of mine. Mine was a strike.
I'm coming down. Now you're gonna hear the glove pop when I come.
There's certain ways to fabricate that.
Yeah, don't, please. I knew it was coming. Please don't.
I won't miss.
Look at Jay.
I won't miss.
Well, Jay been saying nut tap all day. We good.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
Tomorrow we do another show. Tomorrow we're going to have guests.
What's going on inside?
We're
going
to talk for 4 hours about something.
Great conversation with Phil Former.
Thank you for that.
And we're going to run out of here, just like Moan was running forever. I want to see if we can get through this music and just drive Schaefer insane, since he sniped you earlier.
He did. And remember!
You're smart, Schaefer. You know what to do right here.
And your mic is always
on. Oh, you didn't do it. You should have sniped him before.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.